We're going to open the graduation meeting subcommittee on human resources. Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
How are you all? Thank you, House members, for remembering that you belong to this committee.
Really,
we've had a couple of meetings without you.
The next three
and then
kind of
just wait.
Here we are.
Okay, but okay, we were probably not going to be able to address Hospital 2700 today because we have some conflicts with amendments to take care of some technical changes. So maybe later today or tomorrow we will be addressing 2700. So just thought I'd let those of you who were interested in that bill know. I wish we had it because I'd like to work on it. But we have. So we're going to start the work session on Senate Bill 764. And so, John, would you explain to us what happened on that, and then we'll allow Senators George and Fisher also to tell us who've been changing on this side.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I have just handed out kind of a summary sheet of Senate Bill 764. It's very high level, and it also includes a summary of the Dash 4 amendment, which is the one that I understand to be the most current and relevant to our discussion today. We had a public hearing on Senate Bill 764 back in the early part of June, and I put these bullet points up at the top just to remind me and hopefully you of what Senate Bill 764 does, some of the basic points. It establishes access to public transportation fund within the Department of Human Resources. It appropriates $10 million general fund to the Department of Human Resources to put in the access to public transportation fund. I should add that it also includes $10 million roughly of cigarette tax money that is currently in the Department of Transportation budget, so that money would be transferred over to the Department of Human Resources along with this $10 million general fund. It establishes a state elderly and disabled transportation commission within the Department of Human Resources and establishes regional advisory committees. It says that DHR would distribute the funds from the tobacco tax, now located within the Department of Transportation's budget, and it prohibits any fund distribution to providers of transportation when the cost per trip or cost per mile, whichever is lower, exceeds 150% of the statewide average. The prohibition does not apply to providers with annual budgets less than $50,000 or those in operation less than 1 year. I probably missed some things, but that's sort of a summary of Senate Bill 764. The Dash 4 amendment, the one that I believe we'll be considering today, has made some fundamental changes in the original bill. First of all, the tobacco tax fund, the $10 million on bullet point 4 above, remains in the Department of Transportation. So there is no funding, massive funding of $10 million of cigarette tax, or $10 million of general fund going to the Department of Human Resources. It remains in ODOT. The second bullet point says that it caps total administrative costs for the commission and ODOT to administer this fund at 2%. And the commission determines the administrative cost percentage or regional committee. Now, I have a note here that we need to at least think about in our deliberation. Please note that ODOT's 9901 budget contains about $400,000 to administer the existing program. This is roughly equal to 4% administrative cost, and this amount does not include any potential fiscal impact to the Department of Human Resources for the costs related to commission staff or meetings. So we've got a problem here. We've got one budget bill, namely ODOT, that has roughly a 4% administrative cost built into it already, and this bill that says this fund has to be, the administrative cost has to be capped at 2%.
John.
Yes.
In that ODOT budget, does it specify that they're going to pull that $400,000 out of the senior disabled transportation fund?
Madam Chair, Senator George, that's where it comes from.
Oh, it does come from.
Okay. And that was a question I had of Susie Jordan, our analyst for ODOT, and what she told me was that it is pulled right out of the cigarette tax money. There's not another administrative pot of money that is used to administer the fund.
So just if we pass this legislation and this amendment, would it effectively cut that amount to $200,000? Would that be the effect of passing this amendment?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Ross,
I would raise it to 6 by adding.
No, I think it would limit the administrative cost to 2%.
But John, we don't. But DHR doesn't include any potential fiscal impact. Could there be a way of using the 2% from ODOT's cost to go to DHR for their funds?
Madam Chair, if the bill were amended to say that, but right now it says that the total administrative cost is. The ceiling is at 2% for all of it.
Oh, I got you.
For the commission and the Department of Transportation. So the maximum, roughly right now, if the bill were to remain at about $10 million of cigarette tax, would be about $200,000. And that would go to covering the cost of the commission and the department to administer the fund.
Okay, so this, so the bill does cover the fact that it is ODOT, the commission, and EHR's administrator.
It specifies that the commission costs and ODOT costs. Yes.
Madam Chair. Okay, give you a background on this. Initially, the bill, of course, wouldn't have had this problem because it was taking the money and putting it over to DHR. But then because of concerns of the governor's staff, he had to, in order to keep him complacent, maybe, well, actually the letter, maybe not so complacent.
Well, that letter was actually written before any of these amendments.
Okay, so
that
may not be relevant to where we are today.
It isn't.
But so what happened was is that then you had to double administer. It shouldn't be anything like $400,000 just to basically transfer a check over to DHR. I mean, that's my analysis. Anybody have an opinion on that? Or, Susie, do you have an opinion?
Madam Chair, Senator George, it isn't a matter of just writing a check to DHR. The Department of Transportation also provides technical assistance to the transit districts. In their programs, in that part of the $400,000. I don't know how much of that administrative cost also goes to staff support or preparing materials for the Transportation Commission who approves the grant, you know, the grant piece of it. So Martin Loring is here if you want to find out more about the details of what it is they do exactly for that money.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
Good morning, Jeff, Q-Dub committee members. My name is Martin Loring. I manage the Public Transit Division within the Oregon Department of Transportation, the Public Transit Division. Ms. Jordan is right. The current amount of administrative support for the Special Transportation Fund is just under $400,000. It supports 2.6 full-time equivalent staff positions within the division and pays for all the costs to distribute grants, both formula grants to 32 governing bodies, to oversee the subcontracting by those 32 governing bodies to the 150 or so providers of transportation service in all 36 counties of Oregon, and all the other administrative matters. Whatever grants need to be presented to the commission are covered by that administrative staffing, but that's a relatively small part of the budget. It's the oversight of the program that uses the and provision of technical assistance services to the providers and the governing bodies that uses the staff support. Those costs are fully allocated costs that also include the cost of supervision, the cost of overhead for plant materials, and department budgetary support and all the rest.
And that's as it stands right now, and how this is administered now.
Chair,
that
would change with this bill.
Madam Chair, if I could follow up on my initial question. The State Elderly and Disabled Transportation Commission will now basically make those decisions that those 2.6 FTE have been making in the past. Wouldn't you think that would be close parallel? I mean, obviously there's going to be some supervision or time, but I can't imagine 2.6 FTE.
Chair Q-Tub, Senator George, it is not clear to the department exactly what would happen under the bill. We've seen very, very recently different proposed amendments to the bill. One of the concerns the department has is that there are 32 governing bodies that have contracts with 150 providers. Under the current law, we're obligated to give them over $1 million worth of checks for the first quarter by July 15th. These are providers, volunteer programs, some with paid drivers, and there's a lot of concern that if a current program that's working, I think reasonably well, is stopped while a whole new program is created, set aside whether we agree or disagree that that's a good idea, it's just the logistics of forming a new commission, writing administrating rules, soliciting applications, putting a whole new program in place could, in fact, be very disruptive to the elderly and disabled people that we all want to serve.
Yeah. Okay. We're talking about one set of amendments. What I'd like to do right now is let John complete his presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The third bullet says that the commission continues under the -3. It should read -4 amendment to accept and receive grant proposals from counties and transportation districts. In other words, nothing in the -4 amendment changes what is in the original bill with respect to the commission reviewing the grant proposals and so on. It makes recommendations to ODOT, who must follow the recommendations unless ODOT can show, and I'm quoting from the bill, sufficient justification for not abiding by the recommendation. Next bullet is commission shall ensure continuation of existing programs that have certain attributes that are listed in the amendment. Those include cost efficiency, and then there's the category of other criteria that the commission wants to establish. Final bullet on that page says that funds shall be distributed as they are now during the 99-01 biennium. So that the funding mechanism continues for another 2 years, but the commission and the overall process would be revised, and my presumption is throughout this biennium, so we're ready to go during the 2001-03 biennium. Next page, the -4 removes $10 million of general fund and inserts $1 of general fund. The purpose of that is to serve as a placeholder. If in further negotiations there's more money to put in, this would allow a convenient location for it to be placed in the bill.
Madam Chair, if money comes through after negotiations, how do you put it in? Does that have to be done during the emergency board or in fiscal change budget after passage, after authorization comes through?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, I'm not entirely sure the answer to that question. Yes, the emergency board could do that. If there was money established in the emergency fund for this purpose, that's one way it could happen.
I believe that another way it could happen is that in the next week, if there were negotiations that led to some dollars to be put into this bill, that it could be done maybe through full ways and means. And I'm guessing at that. Yeah. Or is it simply, it would require an amendment to this bill.
Madam Chair, so does that mean a supplemental budget bill or Christmas tree bill that would put money in this bill? Because right now there's only a dollar.
Right.
So how do we add money to it if some money can be authorized?
Well, John can answer how
So would it be a
supplemental appropriation bill that appropriates or disappropriates?
Is that a Christmas tree bill or no?
No, I think it would be pretty clear that it was the senior transportation monies, and it's going to be clear to whatever committee acts on that. So I don't consider it a Christmas tree bill.
It will be a supplemental budget bill.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, are the
representatives?
Thank you. Separate in that you're talking about now from the tobacco tax fund?
Madam Chair and Representative Loken, yes. It would be in addition to tobacco tax. And again, the tobacco tax is estimated about $10 million for this purpose.
This is general fund.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. John, I'm sure. Access to public transportation from the Department of Human Resources forces was then, if I understand it correctly, receive that if it was appropriate. Is that?
Madam Chair and Senator George, I think it would remain again within the Department of Transportation. The fund itself, the access to public transportation fund, stays or is renamed within the Department of Transportation. So the $10 million would end up going to the Department of Transportation. That's where it would technically reside.
A few more things. The ODOT is required through the -4 amendment, when appropriate, to cooperate with the State Board of Education to use school vehicles for transportation of seniors and disabled. Local advisory committees required to cooperate with local governing bodies to use school vehicles. ODOT and the State Elderly and Disabled Transportation Commission are required to report twice a year to the Interim Legislative Transportation and Human Resources Committees about the grant process, who's receiving the grant, where the funding is going, and so on. And finally, there is a -5 amendment that is identical to -4. With one exception, the -5 amendment removes any reference to general fund appropriation. So with that, Madam Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Senator Field.
I have several questions, but one that just jumped out at me here, that second bullet on the second page there, ODOT is required when appropriate to cooperate with the State Board of Education to use school vehicles. Is the converse also true, that the State Board of Education is required to cooperate with ODOT? I can see a scenario in which a local school district or whatever would say, no, our buses are all tied up doing this, that, and the other thing. And so I'm just wondering if the other side of the coin.
Madam Chair and Senator Shields, I'm going to try and find within the -4 amendment. I have it on the -4 amendment, page 3. I'll just read it to you. The Department of Transportation shall, when appropriate, cooperate with the State Board of Education. So it goes one way, I guess, if you can ask your question. And down below, the governing body and the regional advisory committee shall cooperate in devising an efficient use of appropriately equipped school vehicles for transportation needs of senior citizens and persons with disabilities appropriately equipped vehicles exist and are available. So it's trying to encourage some local cooperation as well.
The intent of this was is that a local district who might see an opportunity to utilize very expensive equipment they purchased in a way that might actually generate revenue for them. That would be their option. John, do you think it came out that way, just into the last minute?
Madam Chair and Senator George, I think what it says to me is that they shall cooperate. It doesn't say anything about increasing revenue particularly, but okay. If that's your intention, I'll take your word for it.
Madam Chair, and I guess this was Senator, did you say something about equipping the school buses for disabled
minorities?
And that is a pretty expensive addition. How would we fund that?
The school buses, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt this for a second. The school buses, do some school buses currently have, are they equipped for disabled? I would think they would be since they transport. They transport disabled kids. Well, then those would be, I would hope we aren't going to be equipping a whole lot of school buses.
No, that was not the intent.
Right.
Those disabled equipment who might want to participate. And that's why I asked the question. It was a little different, more intent. Madam Chair, I could read on that.
Needed clarification.
Senator Fisher?
Yeah, I think this goes back to the idea that we already have several fairly major transportation provisions totaling up to about $32 million within the Department of Human Resources already. And this, I think, would allow for and encourage them wherever they could to meld this system with those systems and combine and utilize the systems as effectively as possible. And it is pretty hard to tell how much ahead of time could be saved or extended or used to a better purpose until actually the folks have these things on the ground and were able to see how it fit in with all the other programs. But in the list of those programs and that $32 million, there were many, many of those programs that were applying to the same individuals, getting support and transportation accommodations from the potential of as many as four or five different places. And so if, for instance, instead of having to send an individual the money to drive his car or to send a cab out to get some individual, if they live close to this, with a line that was established or something, a bus service, there's no reason that they couldn't schedule doctor's appointments and things like that so they can utilize that service, relieving the funds then in some of those other areas to be utilized better and extended and done other things with or used to help these new arrangements out, leaving that up to the ingenuity and hopefully abilities of the folks operating those things without locking them into something and saying they had to, put 25% of this or $100,000 out of that into these other programs. So I think what it was, this is an enabling clause that allows them to go out and look at these different things and have that possibility of using them without necessarily requiring them to do so, but certainly with the idea of extending the money that we have and making them go further.
Problem with using, the equipment that we have to the schools. I guess when I think of the lift buses and metro and so on, that's different. They're bigger and they've got this big doorway and the steps that come down. It's pretty intricate machinery and really designed for that. But I suppose for children, they're much easier. That are transporting these buses, it's very possibly that we'll have some that could be used, but that was my concern, because when you look at some of the buses that are equipped for adults, they really look pretty different from the school bus and the smaller seats.
But Madam Chair, not all disabled people that need help with transportation or seniors are in wheelchairs by any manner means. Many of them are able to maybe limited in what they can walk, but they're limited and they can't drive.
That's right.
And that's where a lot of the rub comes in. It's not that they can't walk or get around to some extent, but they've lost their driver's license for one reason or another, or can no longer afford to have a car, or in some cases never even learned to drive in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see here on page 3, on lines 3 through 5, and lines 10 through 11, is that, you know, efficient use of appropriately equipped school vehicles for transportation needs of senior citizens and persons with disabilities. And so it's the appropriate, appropriately equipped. So, Senator George.
And a note, too, if you go back up to line 2, it says, the department shall, when appropriate, cooperate,
yeah,
and efficient use. And then you come back down, you tie this in here, the efficient use appropriate for vehicles. And then it says at the very end of line 11, when they are exist, are available.
So we're just for the schools not to be transporting their students at all. But there are times of the day, imagine that those vehicles are available. And they're for public use. And it'd be great to have these people work together and stretch, mm-hmm, stretch the resources as far as they can.
Well, sure, let's follow up on that. You know, one of the thoughts that we were trying to develop is, as we move to the idea of the smart jitney idea, the possibility of cooperating with all groups who may be able to then to put in the little pieces to make transit actually for the first time function. Mm-hmm. Because right now, transit is empty buses driving around. And we need to get way beyond that into systems that actually provide rides to people when they want to go, where they want to go. Mm-hmm. And so what we're saying is let's consider all options, and one of those was is that school districts might in fact have an interest in doing this. They don't. Not appropriate for them. They may not have the equipment.
And for senior and disabled, it's a little bit different than for able-bodied people who can go ride transit and it's available to them and they can walk to the bus stop or whatever. But so at any rate, what I'd like to do is I do want to comment. I believe the letter. Is there anybody from the governor's office here? Oh, okay.
Sure.
All right. Gary, do you have any comments? The governor did give a letter prior to the hearing of this bill, but I don't believe he had seen the amendments to it. He might have, but many of the people I hadn't seen them.
Yeah, men,
they were, 5 minutes before. So.
For the record, I'm Gary Weeks, director of the Department of Human Services. And I think you're correct, Madam Chair, that the governor had not seen the amendments. I got one draft of one of them last night, about 5, and I just quickly read the other 2. So I mm-hmm. you're correct, he hadn't read those. And his 2 main concerns were the location of the dollars, moving the dollars from ODOT to DHS, and then the changing of the STF formula. Now, the amendments look like they've moved in the direction of trying to remedy that. I mean, the STF money stays in transportation. It appears that it's awarded under the current formula for at least the next biennium. And I think that would, go a long way to making the governor feel better about it. I talked with him 20 minutes ago before I came down here and had just a couple of minutes to explain what I thought the amendment said. He still has some concerns about the grant process because we don't know what it's going to look like. And none of us do yet. I mean, that's in part what we create the commission for, is to help us design the grant process and how it will work. And I think the amendments are somewhat helpful in the sense that the grants doesn't establish grants as a single grant, but it does begin to say grants can be continued. Because that was one of our principal reservations, is how do you make a grant for 1 year and then not have someone build an infrastructure and begin to develop a program without insurance that they're going to get it from then on. So,
you can see that this was an effort to accommodate the government's concerns. And so, we went way beyond where I wanted to be. But we understand the realities here. And I think it was a wonderful solution. And it's a transition period to something that may be very beneficial.
I think, Madam Chair, if I just, I know I'll try to be quick here. The other things that the governor, although he didn't put it in his letter, still have some, he has reservations about it, the 150% cap on the cost per ride or cost per trip, cost per mile, however you want to define it. And the law now says that if you have over 150%, it has an impact on your ability to get funds. And there may be, in some parts of the state, good reasons why the cost per ride, cost per trip, cost per mile, whatever measurement you decide to use, is higher in one part of the state than it is in another part of the state. And that was another one of the charges for the commission, was to look at those factors across the state and make some judgments about whether in reality it does make sense for costs to be higher in one part of the state or another. And so I think the governor at this point still has some concerns about that continuing to be in the legislation. There are other parts, you know, removing the general fund amount in there. I believe the governor feels much better about us not tying it to a dollar amount, since none of us at this point know exactly what might be available. There has been some conversation with me about the possibility of borrowing money from the Veterans Fund to front-load a transportation initiative for senior and disabled, and that was one thing the governor made abundantly clear to me about 20 minutes ago, that he said there's no way he could support taking veterans' money and forwarding it into this program. So we've worked, I know Senator George has made a really good faith effort along with Senator Fisher to try to make this bill better, and I've met for 6 weeks every week with all these folks, and we're all trying to get to something we can feel good about. I think this moves it in that direction. So it's, you know, it's mainly the caps on the cost per ride. Well, the other thing the governor shared with me was his concern about limiting ODOT to 2% expenditures when there's already a budget that allows them 4%. I mean, his feeling was that the subcommittee already looked at the ODOT budget, made a decision on what this should cost, and now we have a bill that basically cuts that administration in half. And so that's yet another concern he has.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And Gary, can you give us a candid evaluation of that 4% present administrative cost, where it goes? Does it support those 32 advisory committees around the state and so on?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, I really can't. I don't know how the Department of Transportation had planned to spend that. And my assumption is that it must go to support all the districts, the transportation district operations. I can't testify to that.
Oh, Terry, I apologize. I haven't followed this as closely as a lot of other pieces of the budget because it is a transportation issue and I haven't been involved in that. Can you help me with these amendments? We would continue to have $10 million from the tobacco tax allocated to transportation?
And Chair, Representative Ross, well, it's not in these amendments. There's no there's $1 in these amendments.
Okay, so that's
John shaking his head, so maybe I've misread this.
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, the $10 million cigarette tax you'd still have.
That
on the FDF side. I'm sorry.
And ODOT.
That would, in fact, still be there. Yeah.
But it's any additional funds that's in the question there, and that's a part of the negotiation, and if they say $3, it'll be there. If they say $10 million, it'll be there. And that part separate from that.
Madam Chair, for the sake of discussion, I'm going to move the -4 amendments to Senate Bill 764.
Okay. Well, just to answer this question, you're asking if any additional funds go to the Department of Transportation.
Yes, I was asking for just the status of the money, and it's my understanding. Am I understanding it correctly that the $10 million in cigarette tax money is in their budget now? Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, there are two sets of $10 million.
Right.
Cigarette tax is in ODOT's budget today,
right
now.
Uh-huh.
And the -4 would keep it there.
Right.
As far as the additional general fund dollars, my understanding, and Gary, please correct me, is that any additional general fund dollars would all go into this Access to Public Transportation Fund, which in the -4 is located.
Right. That amount is still in.
The mics, Senator E, the mics are kind of loud, and we're not able to hear them. So, We have a motion. Senator Fisher has moved the dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 7-4 for discussion. Is there objections?
I didn't get all of that conversation either about the money here.
The dollar that's in the $10 million which exists, which is cigarette money, exists in ODOT. Any additional funds that are general funds money that would be allocated to the to senior disabled transportation would still go to ODOT, but it would have it would be distributed through this commission. But, well, I should shut up and let you know. It does go to ODOT, that I know. But
the 10 million is not identified as support yet.
No, there's $1. There's $1. We don't know. It is all part of the negotiation.
And the amount itself.
And the amount. We don't know.
Right. Very well be there.
Okay, well, Madam Chair, I'm going to vote against the amendment because I continue to be concerned about the capacity to run this program effectively with only 2% when the program, as it's been operating, has had $400,000. These are little local committees, and I have a concern about the accountability if we cut back seriously on the state oversight and support to these folks, because they are heavily volunteer, so I'm going to vote against him and just for that.
Why don't we do a roll call?
Okay.
May I raise, now this may not be in the dashboard, first time I've seen him, the 150%, is that not mentioned in the dashboard? Is that a separate, that's in the other part of the bill? And you're not?
Madam Chair and Representative Logan, that's in the original bill. And it's,
so we're not dealing with that in here, because I have a question about that.
The dash 4 amendment doesn't change that provision that is in the original bill. It mm-hmm. keeps it there. So my presumption is that we vote on the dash 4 in there.
Right.
And then go from there as far as voting on
the entire bill. And the amendments were available yesterday. We did have a committee hearing yesterday, but nobody came. Senate members, so they were available.
We were in session. Madam Chair, I have a question on Dash 4. When we put in a dollar as a placeholder for a general fund in case comes available, do we need to put in a federal match money placeholder in case one is available, and then federal match can be obtained?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, I'm not aware of any federal match that would be available. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking to Susie. Do you know of any federal match?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the only way there would be federal match is if it were on a reimbursement basis, it would come in as other funds. The Department of Transportation does use surface transportation, flexible surface transportation money for transit. We already have that budgeted. So there is no need for a $1 federal fund.
So, will you call the roll, please? This is for the dashboard.
Senator Dee?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Fisher?
Aye.
No.
No.
I'm going to vote aye. I really have some qualms about this. Yeah, but excuse me, I'll vote yes on this one, but I have qualms.
I'm not sure I was going to speak on this amendment, but I'm going to vote no.
The motion, aye. Motion passes for the dash. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's here. Right. I'm sorry, I was thinking there were two on that. There were two notes, not two yes.
All right, well,
we're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 64, and we're going to open the work session on 2947.
Is Representative
Hope
that's going to speak on?
No, she's not. We're going to do is open the work session, and we have opened the work session on House Bill 2947. The reason I'm trying to move is because this is, we need to go to session, and I really wanted to move this bill today. John, we have several amendments before us. We are going to only consider
Madam Chair, I prepared a summary sheet on, again, like I did for the other bill on House Bill 2947B engrossed. I've also listed the B8 amendment and the B9 amendment. I don't know if we want to cover the B8 amendment or not at this time, Madam Chair.
I don't want to move that amendment.
Okay. Then may I speak to the bill itself?
Yes.
And the nine? Okay. And then I have a couple other comments. House Bill 2947, I've listed four bullets here. It repeals various unused tax credits, including those pertaining to youth apprenticeship, sponsorship, Oregon Capital Corporation, and fish gleaning. Second thing it does is it repeals the tax credit for political contributions, and it adds a tax credit for charitable contributions for organizations as defined by Internal Revenue Code 170, Section C, Subsection C. Currently, Oregon taxpayers can claim income tax deductions for their charitable contributions, but not tax credits. The tax credit is $25 for single returns and $50 for joint returns, and the measure applies to contributions made in tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2000 and before January 1st, 2006. Obviously, there would be a revenue impact if this held up, but there have been some modifications made using amendments. I'll skip the -8 amendment and move right to the -9. It simply removes the repeal of political contribution tax credits. And the second thing it does is that it changes the effective date for the charitable contribution tax credit provision from tax years beginning January 2000 to January 2001. This effectively eliminates the revenue impact in the 9901 biennium. Now, do you want me to talk about, there is a -10 amendment that legislative council, I believe that has been handed out to you. Dexter Johnson from the legislative council asked me to mention this to you. This has, frankly, nothing to do with tax credits or anything else within 2947, but it makes a correction in a bill, I believe it was, I want to say Senate Bill 26, that has already passed both houses and been signed by the governor, and there was a mistake in there. It referenced a wrong section within the statute. So this is a correction for that bill. So again, it doesn't have anything to do with 2947, but it's something that Ledge Council would like us to consider.
What's the bill number?
I want to say Senate Bill 26, but I'm not absolutely positive of that.
The reason we're doing this dash 10
is that it uses the relating clause of 2947 to get something in on taxation.
Okay, this is somebody from Washington.
Madam
Chair. Dexter, I was picturing myself. I'm sorry.
Madam.
Thank you, Dexter.
Nice to meet you, Madam Chair. Members, good morning. Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council Office. The B-10 amendments correct a minor glitch in Senate Bill 26, which has already been passed and signed by the governor. That bill created an exemption for certain corporations, but by mistake, it put the provision in the personal income tax section, and this changes that and puts it in the corporate income tax chapter. That's all it does.
Okay. Like, okay. Okay.
No.
Do you have a question about this?
No, I was just going to move
okay.
the case.
Okay, let's take just a moment.
Madam Chair, I move the -9 amendment.
Representative Loken has moved the -9 amendment to House Bill 2947. Is there discussion? Objection? Hearing and seeing none, motion passes. Chair would move the -10 amendment, which are the technical change for legislative council. Is there discussion?
Madam Chair, I'm not talking about an amendment in that time. I'm talking about the bill. Does it have the removal of the repeal of the police rule?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Remove the
9.
In the 9.
Okay. Does that go back to $100?
Yeah. I mean,
for a couple.
For a couple.
Madam Chair and
Senator Fisher.
Yeah. It keeps it the way it is.
Oh, okay.
So the original bill repealed the political tax credit,
with the contribution to political
tax credit.
So it's 100 for that hole and 50 for stimulus.
I'm not certain.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
that is
right. Yes.
Okay.
The
-9 removes any reference to a repeal.
Okay.
For that credit. So it keeps things the way they are.
Madam Chair.
Representative
Herbert. Thank you. I'd like to just correct staff on a minor point. I know what you're trying to say. The original bill came from my committee. It was part of an overall examination of many tax credits. The original bill made no reference to the political tax credit. That was an amendment that was stuffed in the Senate side
right.
by Senate revenue and is not a part of the bill that I supported or that came out of House revenue.
I apologize, Representative Strobeck. I'm referencing the D and Glow.
Correct. Right.
Madam Chair, one further question. Now, does the others are limited to 50 and 25?
25 and 50. Yes. We were going to bring them all up, but we decided that's too much of a revenue impact. So, we have before us a motion to insert the -10 amendment.
I move that we adopt the -10 amendment.
I just moved that.
Oh, you did. Okay.
That was when you came in. Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, that amendment passes. The chair would move House Bill 2947D as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Senator Shields.
I'm still catching up here. These credits, what? Is there a revenue
impact?
Not just by any. Madam Chair and Senator Shields, we have effectively, we think, removed the revenue impact for the 9901 biennium. There is a revenue impact for the next biennium, and it amounts to about $26 million a year or so.
And, Senator
Shields,
what's the response from the governor on this? Do we have one?
No, I haven't gotten a letter yet. I assume that once it passes, if he disapproves of it, he may write me a letter and tell me after the fact.
And have we moved on the -4 or where are we on it?
No, we don't have a -4.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't find it.
We've moved the 9s and the 10s, and we are now on the bill as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Any other questions? Are there any objections?
I have a gentleman out here.
No. Okay. Let the record show that Representative Ross and Senator Shields have objected. Do we have a problem? Yes. That's in the -9 amendment. Correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That's kind of a vote explanation. Okay. That's fine. It's a vote explanation. I understand from wanting to know what reaction there was and how he had that. Governor's reaction to that. Fiscal impact. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I don't have -9 amendments.
Okay, we are adjourned.